everyone, and welcome back to our Flat podcast. We have a very special guest with us this week. It's Claire.
Hello, Claire.
Oh, hello there. I am very privileged to be part of this special broadcast.
Oh, yes, indeed. And even that you would forego a sunny afternoon in the garden for us. That is.
Yes, it's quite a sacrifice. Yes.
We know how much you value us. Thank you.
Yes. I'm having my cup of tea, so that's all right.
Oh, definitely. Oh. That's a good reason.
Are you more a tea rather than coffee person?
I'm a tea at tea time.
What are your tea times?
Well, tea time is sometime between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. So I usually have my tea at 4 o'clock, but I'm having it very slightly earlier today, and that's fine. So I always, even when I was at work, I always had tea at tea time, about 4 o'clock.
Now, I thought when you're British, tea time was somewhere between waking up and going to bed. Very rarely outside those hours.
Definitely drink coffee in the morning. So
actually, we're the same as a family. We have morning coffee, which is at 10:30. So we'll all like stop whatever we're doing and get together and sit for like half an hour and have morning coffee. And then at 3:30, it's afternoon tea. So then you have tea or similar beverages. It's a very structured household.
There you are.
We're very much at tea at any time in the day. I remember someone once challenged my mum saying, "Are you caffeine addicted?" She was like, "Nah," and went cold turkey just to prove it. And it turns out she had a mug that held a pint, and she would fill it with tea and have about 8 cups of tea a day.
No.
So she was having 8 pints of tea
wow.
a day, was thoroughly addicted to caffeine.
Wow. That's like Clover with his
energy
coffee
drinks,
addiction and his energy drinks.
He's got to write a sermon somehow.
Did she also have a very strong bladder, or perhaps I don't know?
She must have.
At that point she then started drinking decaffeinated tea.
Not surprised.
Which apparently tastes like cabbage water.
So then why do you not drink it? Why do you just not choose a better beverage that isn't caffeinated?
You're British, you've got to drink tea.
I don't drink tea.
No, it has to be tea.
I don't like tea.
I know.
And I've genuinely tried to like it. Like,
it disturbs me when I meet people like you.
I was a very late comer to tea, actually. I didn't drink tea when I was a teenager or anything like that. Except when I absolutely have to, because it was rude not to. But I think that's because I don't like builder's tea. I don't like tea that's so strong the spoon stands up, but Earl Grey and Lapsang Souchong and jasmine tea and these kinds of teas are very nice. They're fragrant, they're very they're afternoon tea-ish.
I think it will just be something that grows on me in the same way that, like, I didn't like lettuce when I was younger, but now I really like it.
You didn't like what?
I didn't like lettuce when I was younger.
Lettuce?
I didn't, but then when I hit my teens I then really liked it. It always tasted so like acidic to me when I was younger, and then all of a sudden one day I found iceberg lettuce and I've never looked back.
Lettuce is one of those things that I just don't have an opinion on. It. Do you actually actively like lettuce now?
I love iceberg lettuce because it's so, iceberg lettuce is like the lettuce version of watermelon. It's so crispy, and like if you get it right out of the fridge, it's really crispy and fresh, and there's like a bite.
What about Cos lettuce? Cos lettuce is lovely.
Oh, I do like
that. And I've been growing cut and come again salad leaves. So then, lovely, because you get a whole mixture of different things.
Mm. And oriental protein mix with it as well. You get lots of added protein. all of the little plants that come with it.
No.
Hair grows vegetables properly.
I'm trying.
Plants want to eat it.
Hey, exciting breaking news, right? Yeah. Breaking news. Hmm. Yesterday, I picked my first courgette.
Oh, wow.
Ripey courgette.
Oh, wow. Wow. How big was it?
Do you want to see it? Should I go and get it?
Yes. Yeah.
It'll take me a moment. Hang on.
For those of you with only the audio component of this podcast, Claire has left the room to search for her courgette.
Hey, there she goes.
Wow. It's properly striped.
Wow.
So it's probably about 8 inches long, would you say, I think?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're proper stripes as
Same size as your head. There we go.
As I said, there would be some funky earrings. Dry it out. And
so I've been picking gooseberries and I've been picking raspberries, had my first picking of spinach, and yes, it's all abundant. Now we've had the rain. Marvellous. I've made gooseberry and elderflower jam. Gooseberry and elderflower ice cream.
Oh my goodness.
Some other kind of gooseberry dessert.
Gooseberries in abundance. You should have your
chicken.
Yes.
Chicken
foods, like recipes. When we go, you could take over the Friday slot and just do like recipes and what's in the garden at the minute. Just like have seasonal seasoning. I don't know.
Seasonal seasoning.
Seasonal Spencer.
Do you remember our seasonal veggie feast back in September?
I do.
That was really very good. Very fond memory.
Well, finally, Anne is getting the recipe book of all of those together. So before we have another sort of Sunday, which we focus on our attitude towards the environment, as Christians, our Christian attitude and response to caring for God's beautiful and wonderful creation, around the same time, the book will be available with all the recipes.
Fantastic. I still think we should have a cooking with Claire segment.
But we should.
It would be a proper out of the book. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think you should take over our Friday slot.
No. Definitely not.
None of this. No.
And then there are many good cooks in the church, you know. We're well blessed.
We are blessed.
Yeah.
Are you struggling to cook portions for one, Claire? Because I know Naomi's grandparents are used to cooking for the whole family, so they still cook for six. No. Just Naomi.
I've always cooked properly for myself, even though I live on my own. I generally cook more than for one. You know, I make it do at least twice and sometimes three times.
Yeah.
Occasionally I cook a whole recipe and then, you know, freeze it or give it away or something. In fact, I have been giving food away.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Better than throwing
because
it away.
You know, I'm part of a book group. And my book group was supposed to come to me. They made a special request to come to me in December, just before Christmas. They like that because we get the fire going, and and they always ask for chocolate fig and almond cake. And of course they couldn't come because of my accident. So,
Of course.
So then I said, well, you know, now I'm, you know, basically better, and you know, they were going to come to our book group in April, which was going to be the end of April. And then of course lockdown happened, and then I think they just thought that we weren't going to bother with book group, you see. So I said, well, what I, you know, I was getting into the Zoomy thing by
then.
So I said, well, why don't we have a Zoom one? You know, I don't mind hosting a Zoom one. But they hadn't remembered to read the book, so we so we postponed it to the first Thursday in May. And so they had time to read the book. But I was thinking, you know, yet again they can't come to my house. So I decided, towards the end of April, or maybe it was the middle of April, I can't remember. Anyway, one of my neighbours that I've only just got to know, just as we were getting into lockdown, she lent me a bicycle, you see. And which was wonderful. I felt, I've got both my legs now, you know. It felt like having an egg. So anyway, so I decided I would make the chocolate fig and almond cake. And I got some bags of little individual bags of Kettle's crisps. And because I'd had some egg whites lurking in the fridge, I'd made these biscuits, which are really useful to know, by the way. They use up egg whites.
Fantastic.
And they have fennel seeds. They're very tasty. So I made a little doggy bag for everybody with a bag of crisps to go with their glass of wine and a piece of of the chocolate fig and almond cake and a little fennelly seedy biscuit. And I made them in little bags, and I said what it was, and I cycled round to everybody's house and left one on the doorstep. Just before we had our book group. And so some people did in fact find it before the book group started. And the one or two people who didn't, I said, oh, have you looked on your doorstep? So everybody was able to share and enjoy the cake.
Oh,
and anything else, you know, while we were having our book group. So that was that was rather fun, but I could only do it because I had the borrowed bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a good discussion and we were able to enjoy the cake.
That's a lockdown success, definitely. It is, yeah. Has your virtual choir been as successful? I'm struggling to imagine a Zoom choir.
Well, now this is interesting. It's not at all like singing in a choir.
I can imagine.
You can only hear yourself. As you well know, Zoom can't cope with more than one person talking at a time. Mm-hmm. So you can't all sing together because you go, whoa, 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 you know, it doesn't work.
Just like that.
And, but we have been having our rehearsals and most we've had 75% of the choir has tried at least one rehearsal, which is actually a very high number.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not everybody has decided they want to do it or to be part of it. But I think that's quite good. Mm. But some people have said how strange it is to actually hear themselves sing.
Yeah. You know,
because they're singing on their own in their own home. Oh, yeah. And but it's actually a very good thing to do, you know, because nobody else can hear if you make a mistake. And nobody else, Gavin's not our conductor, is not going to say, you know, oh, you didn't do that right. Or so, so you can actually get confidence in hearing yourself sing. I'm hoping that people are singing out and actually doing that. Oh, by the way, I thought I might mention this to you because you are singing for us at church, aren't you?
Oh,
I just thought you need to know. You need to know this, girls. I think a very large proportion of the church, like quite a lot of our choir, are not used to singing when they can hear themselves. They sit there and they listen to you. But I would like to say to all of the church who may or may not be listening to this podcast, you should be singing.
You Amen. Should be, yes. Amen.
You should be declaring the praises of God. You should be gaining confidence. And men should be doing it as well, not just the women.
Yeah.
So with your children. So teenage boys don't grow up thinking that men don't sing.
Amen.
They do. And I think it's really important and it's therapeutic.
Oh,
it's good for you mentally. It's good for you spiritually. It's good for you physically. You should be singing out there.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic songs, aren't they? You know, great songs to sing. Praise to God. Yeah. In fact, I'm wittering on. But at the very, very beginning when we started doing these services and they didn't have any songs. Do you remember? They didn't have any songs.
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself, this isn't right, you know, this isn't right.
Yeah.
So I went into my, in here, I was playing it in the kitchen, but I went in here and I found all the bits of photocopied music that I got from Andy. And I found one or two songs that I liked. Mm. And I sang them on my own, you know, no accompaniment, no nothing. I just sang them. And, you know, I found it a very moving experience.
Mm.
It made me quite emotional, singing and declaring these praises, the praise of God, just privately in my house to God.
Yeah.
And we need to do that. It's very good.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
So if you keep this bit in the podcast, okay, everybody, Wycombe Church family, you should be singing and not just, lovely though these girls' voices are, you should be singing out there. Well, we will miss you both.
Oh, thanks.
You're crossing off the days now, are you?
Yeah, no.
Amy, what are you going to do?
I'm going home.
But what are you going to do?
I will.
When you get home?
The first couple of weeks, I will take my holiday and I will enjoy it.
where did you say your parents live?
Helensburgh.
Where's that?
That is, it's west, the west coast. It is, yeah, west coast, like Loch Lomond kind of side.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You're not Scottish though, are you? Don't sound Scottish.
See, this is the whole, you might have to help me with this, Claire. So I'm not Scottish, but I am. And so my grandparents are Scottish and they both grew up in Scotland. But because they were missionaries, then all my mum and her brothers kind of, they grew up overseas in Taiwan and then all had education in the States. And so it's only been, since I was just a couple years before I was born, that then my mum moved back and kind of permanently was living in the UK. So I think she I don't even know what she would call herself either, actually, because she sounds American, but she grew up in Taiwan and she now lives in Scotland.
She's an MK.
She is an MK.
What about your dad?
My dad's Northern Irish. And he then was working down in London and then is now living in Scotland. And so I sound...
You have a perfectly English accent.
I do, indeed, which I'm very proud of. And I would say I'm English. And, like, I grew
would
up...
Would you?
I, see, this
With
is...
a Northern Irish dad.
And a Scottish mum.
Oh. Yeah.
And because my brother's so much younger, so he's 12 years younger, so he...
Is he picking up the Scottish?
Well, I mean, he can do a very good Scottish accent, but he does sound he is a redhead. But I think he'll naturally have spent more of his life living up in Scotland by the time he leaves home than he will have down south. So it is quite strange that I would call myself English, but as of the summer, I actually won't be even living down here.
But then Jess is very clearly a northerner.
Yeah.
But she's most only lived of her there. Life in the south.
Yeah. So... Yeah, very proud of her accent.
Yeah, she's got a good Northern accent.
Yeah, she does.
British, you're British, aren't you?
I'm British, yes, we'll go with that.
Part of the Commonwealth,
whatever that means.
You know, during lockdown for myself, I live on my own anyway, but I suppose I have been on my own more, even though I've been having people in my garden now.
Yeah.
But one of the kind of... blessings is I don't know, it's very easy to waste time. Time can fritter away. But it's also been how disciplined are you, and yet there shouldn't be this I must be doing something, you know. So it has been lovely to have more time to read and pray. That doesn't mean to say that every day I've been able to do that, but I have, generally speaking, I would say, had more time to think and to pray and to be be thinking about what's really important and how life might be, you know, in the months to come when things get back a bit more normal, and you think about things that you know you wish you'd done a bit differently in the past and relationships you'd like to improve or I found that quite good. I mean, I was when we were doing the contentment studies in home group, I did the one on the bread of life, the second one, and that made me think about how Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Not that I'm going to give you the bread of life, or that, you know, he says, I am the bread of life. And don't waste your time working for that which is not going to last, you know. Put your effort into that which is going to be for eternal life. And it made me think about how much we shouldn't be, you know, Jesus himself is our satisfaction, our source of contentment. That's really what it's about. And that made me think about John Piper's book, Desiring God. Which I've had on my bookshelf forever and have read it. So I decided I would read that. I read that after I stopped what I was doing for a time and read a chapter of that a day. And there's an awful lot in that, but that's really about, you know, how much is your passion really to know God and out of that the overflow of life, you know? So, that's just one example of something that, you know, I had more time. I wouldn't have had time to have read Desiring God a chapter a day for however many days it was if I hadn't been in lockdown, you know. And that's good. That was good. And just thinking again about it's one of the paradoxes, isn't it, that although we were locked down, when we were doing the clapping for carers, I got to see my neighbours more than I ever had done before. I do know them. I know who they are, and I have had some round in the past into my home. But we, you know, I was walking up and down there having a chat with, you know, loved them. And now I'm hoping to have some of them around in the garden in little groups of, you know, three or four. But yeah, so it's difficult now because I've got church people to have around, neighbours to have around, choir people to have around, family to have around. So and then the weather went all bad. So
yes.
But that's what I'm looking forward to doing, and hoping to fit a lot of that in over the next couple of months if the weather stays good.
It is interesting though, isn't it, that having had it, the ability to meet up with people taken away from us, and like all of these things that are then removed, you suddenly, well, I've suddenly realized how much I was taking it for granted beforehand. And so friends that if I had been able to travel to see them, I would never have got around to traveling to see them. I've now caught up with them digitally, and I'm in more contact with my family than I have been throughout my entire university life.
Oh, really? Your immediate family or your wider family?
My immediate family, which is like, just because it is now our national, our global way of life, is to be digitally in contact with people.
And because you know you can't see them, you're almost more inspired to chat to them, I think,
So you know some people pace when they're on the phone. Like I'm one of those.
Oh, do they? No, they walk up and down.
So like, I pace when I'm on the phone, but it also works the other way around as well. If I'm on a walk, it reminds me to ring people.
Really?
So I quite often just go out for a walk and then be like, right, who should I ring? And I'll ring five different people and none of them will pick up. But then like the last person that I land on, I'll have a lovely conversation with them.
Oh, so that's good. That's nice. I've done less ringing, more it's been emailing and texting and all that kind of stuff. I seem to spend ages doing that, you know. But I guess that's good as well, you know, being in touch with people and trying to keep, I mean, I've done that a bit with choir and so I'm trying to keep the community of the choir together, and you know, with other friends and people. I've been doing a little bit of shopping for one or two neighbours, and you know, so text exchange and that kind of stuff, you know.
I
sent me this bicycle. I only started to get to know her just before the lockdown, but I've had more contact with her probably than anybody else, actually, because she keeps texting me and I keep texting her, you know.
Yeah. There's a weird thing that happens whenever we podcast. It makes Naomi yawn.
Get bored.
No, it can't be that.
No, it's not. It can't be that. It's not like I don't yawn when I'm bored.
Some people get like they sneeze when they look at lights, so maybe you yawn when you look at a screen.
I look at people. No, it might just be the time of day that we often Zoom.
Have your afternoon nap.
Mm. See, I'm not reliant on nap, so that is quite funny. Yeah. Like, although I do take the occasional nap now.
Maybe it is that we just expend so much energy when we talk animatedly.
I think it is actually. I find talking quite exhausting. I do, and I think
that note, it was lovely having you here.
No, I think about being MTs when we were quite busy was that it was just as much the social interaction as the like practical sending emails, writing this, doing that. Because you're with people like all day, every day, talking to them.
I think also that when you're a people person, and so you're not actively saying, "Oh, I'm an introvert," like talking to people like drains me.
Yeah,
I forget that even though I love it, it still takes energy.
Yeah.
If you know people who suffer from ME, you know, it's not physical things necessarily that exhaust them. It's often social interaction that exhausts them.
Which is something that socially we don't accredit that. We don't think that you're working if you're just doing social interactions as your job, which I think was something that I found very hard about being an MT, is that a lot of it is social work.
And a lot of it is stuff that people would optionally choose to do, like stuff that I would have entered into being a member of the congregation, not as an MT. But then when you're an MT, it really does flip, because that is your job when you need to be there and you need to kind of...
But it's very hard, isn't it, to draw the parameters around what is work and what isn't work.
Yeah.
And and also, you know, because you're working from home, you know, when does work stop and start and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was a bit like that when I worked for UCCF, you know, you didn't know quite where... You know, where the, you know, you're working from home and you were traveling away and when you, you know, it was hard to know sometimes where the boundaries were between work and not work, really.
And I sucked myself out. I think that's partly why I found it so draining, is that I never felt like I'd done enough work, because I also didn't value work. I didn't think anyone else thought it was work. I didn't think I thought it was work. So instead of asking God whether I had like done a good day, I was like, I haven't done anything. I haven't earned my rest today. Yeah. So then I'd like try and like work more and just go beyond my limits, and then worry about not having done a, like, been working hard enough.
We have such a culture about this, don't we? And I think it's particularly true, actually, is often in Christian circles. And as I was saying, you know, I live on my own, and I've been locked down, and all the normal things that I do have kind of stopped. So I don't have any guests, Airbnb, or students, haven't been doing any one-to-ones, and, you know, haven't been doing any teaching, haven't, you know, all these kind of things that I would normally be doing. So, you know, am I wasting my time? What am I doing? What makes... We define our purpose and what gives life meaning by, you know, what we achieve or our sense of doing something worthwhile. And I think that there is a sense in which, you know, we don't want to be indulgent and lazy and all the rest of it, but it's trying to get your head to see those things in the right way, I think, is quite a challenge. It's a challenge for those of us who are, you know, retired or older or have time available. You know, I don't want to be self-indulgent. I don't want to be lazy. I want to use the time that God has given me in a way that is glorifying to him and fruitful in his service. And a lot of that is actually just about, it's about developing relationships. And it's about being, you know, godly in those relationships. Yeah. That's a challenge, you know, and seeing value in that. And also value in just in your own relationship with God, just you know, spending time with him and understanding him and knowing, letting him speak to you. And, you know, I find it quite hard because I've been a very sort of, you know, a fairly busy person, and sometimes that busyness is actually a distraction from the important things. I haven't got it right yet, you know. I'm still working on how to get that sort of right balance in life between you know, as we were saying, the kind of reflective part and the active part, and it's all through life, girls. You're at the beginning.
Indeed.
Go on through life.
Yeah. We've got a long way to go.
Well, we don't know. All right. Well, it's been really lovely having you here, Claire. Thank you so much for coming in from the garden, spending time with us.
It has been lovely.
It has been lovely.
Great to be your guest. Thank you very much.
Bye.